Able to study, we have this opportunity, we're able to fulfill command to assemble with one another and to fulfill other commands and teach and admonish one another in Psalms, teach the word of God and study with one another, pray with one another, for one another, so many things that we're able to do as we gather together. It's always a good thing. So let's continue to be thankful for this opportunity and opportunities that arise as they come along to gather with the Lord Christ. This evening, I'm going to ask the question, have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? And this, of course, comes out of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, as he speaks to the church of Ephesus here, brings out the point, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. It's a good question to ask ourselves, have we also done that? And to examine ourselves, as we're told to do, we're to examine ourselves. It's a command that we read about in Corinthians as we're observing the Lord's Supper, a time to examine ourselves, to make sure we take that. We often pray and say in a worthy manner, the mindset that Jesus had died for us, to wash our sins away, so that we can be added to His kingdom, so that we can have a home in heaven. And so we can ask ourselves, are we truly taking that in an appropriate manner? Have our sins been washed away? Are we taking that with sin in our life? And many other things in our lives as we live from day to day, we can ask ourselves, are we putting God first in our lives? Are we truly doing all that we can? I want to start off bringing out, asking that question, who is first? What is first? There are many things that we truly love and enjoy doing upon this earth. Great things. Things that are not, again, necessarily sin in and of itself. A lot of things that are there and I believe are good things. We can talk about our family, right? Family are good things. God, when He created a spouse for Adam, that was a good thing. It was a bad thing for Adam to be alone. Looked at Adam and said there's no helpmate comparable to him, so therefore he made Eve. Again, as you go through that account of creation, and it was good, and it was good, and after he created that, it was good. Having a spouse is a good thing. Told them to go forth and have kids. Having children is a good thing. Family and friends are good things. Enjoying our lives here on earth, we know that we must work to be able to provide for our own. We're commanded to do that, and so our jobs are a good thing. Making money so that you have food put on the table to help take care of your kids and family and wife, and it's good. The question is, though, is what is first in your life? Do we allow these things to overtake our life? Do we allow them to come before our God, before our Lord? In Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 37, Matthew chapter 22, and looking there, and in verse 37, if you will with me. As it reads here and goes forth, it says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He is to be first in our lives. We're to love Him with all that we have. You take time to sit and really consider why. Why would we love God above all things? Why would we put God first in all things? I mean, He is, one, our Creator. Creator of all things. Creator of this world. Creator of our family. Creator of our friends. Creator of you. He created us. We were made in His image. Not only that, He is the one that continues to allow us to live our lives upon this earth. Right? Because He is one promised to destroy this world, as we can look in 2 Peter 3, starting there in verse 10. That all elements will dissolve, be gone, be melted. But then you go back to verse 9, it talks about His long suffering. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but as some kind of slackness is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
So we are thankful for his patience with us, giving us these days to examine our lives, giving us these days that we have with our friends and family, giving us these days that we can enjoy the world and the good weather and the things we enjoy, whether that's sports or just home activities or going and traveling and doing that. God's the one that's blessed us with all that. God's the one that allows us the time to enjoy those things. And yet, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short, and therefore we are all in need of forgiveness. And God has provided a way for everyone. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So again, we come back to why God, first of all, he is our creator. He blesses us with the days that we have. He knew that we were all lost and had no way of getting home to heaven. And so he sent his Son down to die for us so that we could have a way home. And then he sends the Spirit so that we can have the Word, and he sends him to present it in a way in which we can all understand, that it's no private interpretation of man, but was written so that all can understand. How great our God is, how wonderful our God is. And again, our Lord, our Savior, will be our judge in him. He'll be judged by our Lord, by the words that he has granted to us. So we are to love our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, as it brings out here and tells us, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now again, we go back and you read leading up to that part where it's telling us to no longer be anxious, no longer to be worried. Do not worry about what you eat, what you wear, what you are going to drink. For these are the things the Gentiles seek out and wonder and worry about. But he goes forth, he says, I take care of this world. I take care of the flowers. I take care of the birds. How much more will I take care of you? Because these things are going to be thrown into the oven. They're going to be dissolved and melted in the end of time. But you have an eternal soul. So he says, don't put these things first. Don't worry about food first. Don't worry about clothing first. But seek first his kingdom, his church, the bride of Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his kindness, and all these things that we need to have to live by will be added to you. You will be provided for. You will be taken care of if we put our God first in our lives. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. We read this this morning as we focused more on verse 16. We're talking about teaching and admonishing one another in the Psalms and hymns. But verse 17 was in there also. Verse 17, where it tells us, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That we give. No, verse 17, I'm thinking of the next part. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Second half of that verse. But they're telling us to do all in his name. And again, as we consider that it's not just saying, as you go out into the world and you commit sin, that you can say, I did that in the name of God. But that we do everything by the commandments that he has given to us. Doing all these things, knowing that he is watching, that he knows your decisions. He knows your heart. He knows what you are thinking. In verse 23, in Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever you do, do wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Again, it's not about putting your job first or your family first, but doing that in mindset of as unto the Lord. If I had to do this for Christ, if I had to do this for God, if I had to provide for them, how much would you do? How much would you sacrifice? What would you go to make sure the Lord had what He is needing? We put the Lord first in our hearts. And that will help us line out taking care of your family. That will help line out how often we spend time doing other stuff. Again, I'm not saying that the things of the world, that the secular things that we can get caught up in are sin. But do we go as far to end up making them idols in our life? This is something we kind of had to talk about, and we'll continue to talk about on Wednesday night in the young adult class. But we're studying Hosea right now. And going forth again, how they're caught up in idols and worshiping these things and putting it first. And of course, trying to bring that into our mindset today. How do I really commit idolatry? Spiritual adultery against God. When we put these things before God, if you're putting things in decision of saying, well, I'd rather do this than worship God. I'd rather do this than take the time aside to pray. And I'd rather do that than rather take time to read my scriptures, to prepare for Bible class. Are we putting those things above God? And therefore making them our idols? The Word of God tells us that the ones we obey, that's who we are slaves to. When you get caught up in adultery, that's who you're a slave to. You're a slave to adultery, to lusting and fornication, sexual immorality. But understand, that goes along with other things. We get caught up and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we read verses 9 and 10, and it lists those that shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And we say, all right, there's a straight list. You know, the murderers and adulterers and liars and thieves. Understand, there's also the point of just putting worldly things in front of God. We always have time to watch TV and play games or even enjoy time outside. Do we take the time aside to spend with our God, to lead our family in the Lord? Do we put God first? Because nothing is to come before Him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve two things. Again, we know we get caught up in doing a lot of things throughout our time. You get caught up and busy. But understand, I can relate to this when it comes to sports and mindset. If you were like me, especially when I was in school, before high school and getting into high school, where you had to make decisions on which sports you're going to continue with. Because before that, I'd play anything I could play. Whatever was in season, I was playing. I'd go from basketball and go into football, go into baseball, go one back-to-back. They were back-to-back, just one right after the other. Then eventually it comes down that you think you can balance two of them. You have practice on one day with one, practice with the other on the next day, and you start going through. Then games start to interact with each other, and so you got to make a decision. Which one are you going to? You going to go to the baseball game? Are you going to go to a wrestling game? Are you going to go to which one are you going to choose? You're going to choose one because you like one better than the other. Because you'd rather serve this one more than the other. Because you might have a more of a reward right off the bat than the other. That's what God's saying. You can't serve two masters. You can't stand here and say, I serve you, God. I love you, God. You are first in my life. But then when you have the opportunity to do godly things, to keep His commandments, to study His Word, to pray, to spend time with brethren, and then, well, I got this other thing that's important to me also. Who do you choose? What do you choose? We got to put God first in our lives. Nothing is supposed to come before it. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and looking there and in verse 49. Luke 12, verse 49, reads, it says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five will in one house will be divided, and three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against the son, and son against the father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
You know, we can bring out other verses through the scriptures, go to Corinthians, and see time again, look at Jesus' prayer, that he wants unity. He wants us to be one-minded. He wants us all to be going in the right direction, but He understands the way of the world, and that's not going to just happen. There's not going to be a straightforward peace of everybody in the entire world serving God. And so therefore he says, I came down to bring fire. I came down and brought you a sword. You have to be ready to fight and stand your ground if you're going to be with me. You have to be willing to count the cost. And that includes our family. That includes our friends. He's saying it's going to be dividing one another because they're not going to want to obey the gospel like you. And better yet, when they see you obey the gospel, they may even fight. They may even make fun of you. They may even try to drag you. They may try to set plans that will keep you from getting to service, to keep you from praying, to keep you from studying. And that's where you're going to have to make your decision. What's more important? Who comes first in your life? Who comes first? What comes first? Is God first in your life? Or do we allow our friends and family to pull us in another direction? They don't come before God. As much as we love them, they do not come before God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Luke chapter 9. Read with me there, starting in verse 57. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to one another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, you read down that list of things. You might sit there and say, I can understand. That kind of makes sense to me, right? You want to say goodbye to somebody. If you lost somebody, then you want to be able to have your last memories real quick. And if you have some things that you need to take care of real quick, you want to put that in order before you leave. God is saying He comes first. It doesn't matter the situation that you're in. It doesn't matter how much fun you're going to have. The Lord is to come first in all things. Everything we do, and some of those things might sound important to us. But if it's going to pull you away and hurt your faith, then it's not worth it. It is not worth it. We do not want to get to that point that it no longer bothers us. That's what often happens is we tolerate it, or we might give in once. And it'll go against our conscience, and we'll maybe pray for forgiveness or pray for strength, and then it happens a second time and bothers you. But after a third and a fourth, eventually it just no longer bothers us anymore. To go forth and be like the rest of the world, to go forth and just miss worship or anything, to go forth and speak like the rest of the world and curse, maybe. Maybe you get caught up and you say a curse word once and you catch yourself. Oh, did that come out of my mouth? But eventually, if you keep on saying it, you won't even think twice. And that's the world. They don't think twice about it when it comes out of their mouth. That's just the way they talk.
who comes first in your life? Our God is supposed to be there. And it's more than just looking like God's first in your life. It's more than just going through the motion. We have to realize that. Go back to Revelation with me, because that hits hard. And I truly believe it helps us really examine ourselves. As you read about what took place here in Revelation 2, in verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. And you jump down to verse 5, it says, remember therefore from where you have, or verse 6, I'll read verse 4 and 5 here in a minute. Verse 6, it says, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I mean, you read through those parts, and it seems like, man, this church is on fire. This church is doing good. They would look the part of a good, thankful, working church. They have people come in and preach the word, and they test them. They examine the scriptures. They put them on and make sure that the truth is being taught. When they find them false, they do not tolerate it. They do not have part with it. They cannot bear those who do evil. They have went through some hardship, and they have been patient and labored hard and persevered. But verse 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It's got to be more than just showing up to worship. It's got to be more than just hearing the songs being sung. So many of the verses we looked at this morning, we talk about singing, talk about our hearts, our mind, understanding the words, teaching each other, being able to use the songs to admonish one another. It's more than just singing. More than just coming here and putting some bread in your mouth and some fruit of the vine into your mouth. It's more than bread and juice. Our hearts have to be in the right place. Our minds have to be in the right place. We have to be here for the right reason. Not because it's a habit, because people expect us so, because someone will get on to me if I don't. Because we want to be here, because we love our God, because we're thankful for His sacrifice, because that's what He expects out of us. Again, now Matthew 7 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I know I've referred to this verse, it seems like a decent amount lately. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, hear that they did works, and in the eyes of men, and they have seen that these were the good people, that these were men of God. But in the end, God's going to say, I don't know. I do not want to hear those words when my day comes. We have to make sure that God is truly first in our hearts and that we are doing things the way He has commanded us to do. I'm going to finish with John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and in verse 24. As it reads here, it says, God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And again, it's more than just coming together, singing songs, going through the motions. It's more than when someone asks you, do you believe in God? Oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And then that's all we have to say. willing to stand up for our faith, willing to answer the questions that people might ask you, sanctifying the Lord in your hearts, always ready to give an answer for the hope that you have, for the faith that you believe. Putting God first in all situations of our life. Always asking ourselves, am I serving the Lord in what I am doing? Am I shining His light to those who know what I am doing? Would people look at me and know by my fruits that I am a Christian, that I am a follower of God? Have you left your first love? I hope not. But we can be thankful that if you have, if you've been struggling there, that God has given us another opportunity to put that sin behind us, to ask for His forgiveness. You can go to God in prayer right now and ask for that. We'd like assistance from your brethren for us to pray for you, to study with you, to help you gain the strength you need, to keep on fighting the good fight. And you can let that be known. You can come forward and ask us. We're here for you. We're here for one another to help each other to continue to fight that good fight. And if you're here and you haven't started that fight, you haven't entered into His kingdom because you have not yet been baptized, we will encourage you to do that also. If there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand.